Yeah, it's nice being here with y'all. Nice to see the worship team. They're just always putting so much time into being prepared and purposing to just be excellent in what the Lord's given them to do. And, you know, it's not just playing an instrument or singing, though. It's also us and what we're doing and what we're called to do. You know, we're part of that. You might see it almost like an extension of the worship team. We're part of that worship team, too. And how they move in the Spirit here has a lot to do with how we're moving in the Spirit with them out here. And so I'd encourage you to just be bold and courageous and step in for what He has for you today. And, don't have any fear of man, right? Just do what He wants you to do. That might be a little crazy. Yes, Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. We worship You. We worship the Creator of the universe today, right now, in Jesus' name. Thank You, Father. Amen.
Your eyes of fire, and your hair like wool, Jesus, we look to You for direction. Jesus, we look know how many of you know, but Tammy Swagley is not doing well. She's in the hospital right now, and they're saying she could go at any moment. And so I just want to make some declarations right now. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just declare, Father, that her heart will continue to beat, that her blood pressure would come up in Jesus' name. We speak to Tammy and we say, arise, be healed in Jesus' name. We declare heaven in her room now. Heaven in her room now in Jesus' name. We speak life, 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 life over Tammy right now in Jesus' name. Fill her room with your presence, God. We send forth healing in Jesus' name into Tammy's body. We say, arise, 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 be healed in Jesus' mighty name. God, we come against this sickness, this hell that's been unleashed on her body. And we say, be whole, be healed in Jesus' name. God, would you allow faith to just rise in the hearts of every person in this room, every person in that hospital room. No more speaking fear and it's this or that. We are declaring health, wholeness, healing into Tammy's body. God, we thank you for your plan, your purpose in her life. And we declare she is not done. She is not done. No matter what this looks like, she is not done in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Release miracles, signs, wonders into that hospital room now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. More. More, Lord. Jesus.
Is there anyone else who feels they have anything they want to pray?
Jesus. Jesus, come into that room, God. We speak to her body. In Jesus' name, health, strength, arise in Jesus' name. Come forth. Come forth, Tammy. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Here you are, the shoulder of the We will not allow fear and doubt to come in. Jesus. Here you are, the shoulder of the Be healed. Be healed. We plead the blood of Jesus over Tammy now. Blood of Jesus over Tammy. Strength, God. Thank you, Jesus. Yarata Shotoroko.
This is Acts 9:36. In Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in the upstairs room. Lydia was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydia, they sent two men to him and urged them, "Please come at once." Peter went with them. When he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying, showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made, while she was still with them. Peter sent them out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and he prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed at Joppa for some time with the tanner named Simon. Anyway, doesn't Tammy make things? Doesn't she? I think in January she gave me a quilt for the little fellow that we were taking care of. Anyway, I think probably she's made stuff for a lot of people here. I just thought of her.
So we say, "Tammy, get up." In Jesus' name. Tammy, get up. Tammy, get up.
There's a story in the gospel about Peter in prison. He was given a death sentence. And while he was bound and given no other option but death, the church prayed and interceded and called forth heaven, and the Lord sent an angel to slap Peter and say, "Peter, get up, come, come." To the surprise that when he knocked on the door, the church is like, "Hey, Peter's at the door." "What? No. Lord, do what only you can do because of your faithfulness. Because of your faithfulness, Lord."
In our own hearts and say, "Come on, Lord, I know you said it.
brother-in-law was on life support for some time, and all of the doctors said she was not going to make it. And we were saying that it was not up to the doctors. And he came through. They transferred him to another hospital when he was on life support. And he finally came around after more than a month. And he had woke up, and one of the doctors from the other hospital was in the ICU and saw his name. And they walked in and looked at him, and he was awake. And he wasn't really able to speak too well because he had the trach previously, so his voice wasn't very good. But the trach was out. And the doctor came in and said, "I saw your name, and I came in to see you in this room because I treated you at the other hospital. And when we transferred you, I knew you were going to die. And when I saw your name, I was just shocked." And he didn't know what to say. And then the doctor left the room. And then my sister came in the room, and my brother-in-law was just crying and crying. And she's like, "What's wrong?" And he said, "I was supposed to die." And she said, "No, you won't. You know, God intervened. God, it was a miracle. And that's why you're here. It was up to God. It was not up to the doctor." So, you know, we need to understand that it's not what the doctors are saying at the hospital. It's not that they're saying she has minutes. It's not what they're saying. The Lord is the one who can do this. And we know, we need to know that. We need to feel that.
Thank you for your goodness, God. Thank you that you're good.
So the Lord's showing me how in times like this, if you put yourself, if we put ourselves in Tammy's place, it potentially could feel pretty lonely there. And about as quick as that thought comes into my head, the Lord throws something else in there that totally overwhelms that thought and casts that thought away. And reminds me of a photo that I often liked. It was a friend of mine's fiance, and she was serving in the military. She was on Guam, and she was out deep sea fishing. She was about Audia's size. And the photo was of her on the back of this boat, deep sea fishing, with just a big heavy duty crane of a fishing pole. And that thing is bent over to where it looks like it's about to snap. And you know, there's something really big on the other end of that line. But in the photo, I mean, you look at it at first glance, it's like, how could she possibly be holding on to this thing? And then you notice there's this arm that comes into the photo, some big burly guy there next to her is reaching in and holding on to the rod. And he is like just this rock that she's needing, that rock to hold on to whatever it is, come what may, out of the water on the end of that line. And it's like I hear the Lord telling us, telling Tammy, telling each one of us, in our moments of loneliness, he's got it. It doesn't matter how big whatever it is on the end of that line out there, something maybe we can't even see, he's got it. You're not alone. Tammy's not alone. Thank you, Lord.
I'm trying not to cry. Two nights ago, I had a dream that I was hovering over a dead man, and I put my hands on his chest, and just having that shock of a defibrillator just pumped through him, and I saw his veins pop out, I saw the blue veins, and I heard the Holy Spirit giving him another jolt of life, and I'm hearing that for Tammy going, victory! Victory! This is not over yet. It's victory. There's not going to be this jolt of life. And I have my family come up. Including you, Grandma and Uncle, too. We've had somebody come back to life in our family. That doesn't mean it can't happen again. We declare victory over Aunt Tammy's body right now. We declare your life over her.
We declare this jump start again, where your heart will beat again, that life will come through, the overflowing of your Holy Spirit will come. We declare victory over Stanley's life, over Stanley's family. We declare victory over death. All this is another testimony. Our response is so important. And the enemy, where he wants to shut us down and put doubt, he can go make. He needs to go. You know, I'm so thankful for you, Olivia, for sharing that. And I want you to always be that brave.
Yeah, yeah.
Always. Always.
You know, this is really where we find out why we're here. Are we here to be entertained, or are we here to be who God called us to be? Are we here to find out what God wants to do for me, or are we here to find out what God wants to do through me? You know, we have an opportunity to either respond in fear or respond in faith, respond in doubt. The enemy's plan is to kill, to steal, and destroy. But God's plan is life and life abundantly. And so we need to continue to declare life, life, life in Jesus' name. So, you know, and I know this isn't the only situation going on in all of our lives, but we need to learn how to be the body and come together in a place of faith and not doubt, faith and not fear. And so, Father, I just pray for strength. Strengthen our faith, that some of us have little faith, some of us have a lot of faith. But Lord, I pray that the faith that is in each one of us would be strengthened, it would be increased. And God, we would see your plans, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, no matter what the reports are, it does not change who you are. It does not change who we are in you. And so we declare today, over each one of our situations, over the situation with Tammy right now, in Jesus' name, that there would be a shift and a change, that faith would arise in each one of us, and we would declare life, 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 life in Jesus' name. We do not want to give up. We do not want to give in. So we call forth life in Jesus' name. Life. In Jesus' name. Life. In Jesus' name. Jesus. Jesus. Mm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
With Jesus,
mm-hmm.
And she's with her father,
mm-hmm.
And her brother. God has been giving me a peace through it all. It's a supernatural peace. Yeah.
There's a song that I absolutely love, and it's called This Is a Move.
in the first lyric. I'm not going to sing it because I probably can't right now. But it says mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe it. Yes, we can see it. Wonders are still what you do. Bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slain. God, we believe it. We can see that. Wonders are still what you do. And the verse of the bridge is, miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. I think we just need to declare that. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. Bodies are still being raised. Declare that. Giants are still being slain. God, we believe it. Yes, we can see it. Declare that. It can happen. It happens. When you declare it with power, things happen. When God works, when God moves, things happen. Mountains are moved. It's true. It happens. And we can declare that over Tammy. We can declare that over anybody that's struggling in this room today. Things happen when God moves. And we have the power to declare that in our lives and in Tammy's life and in anybody else's life. It's true. It's true. And things are happening in this situation with Tammy. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know, but we know that God is there. God is here, and He's working it for our good. He's working it for our good. So rejoice through this situation and have peace that God is here and God has His hand holding Tammy right now.
So I want you to hear what I'm about to tell you. Faith is not what you believe. You can't write down a list of what you believe and call that faith. Faith is in whom do you believe. And no matter what circumstance, no matter what situation, no matter what's going on, that cannot change. He doesn't change. He's still the same. He's still the one we put our faith in. Our faith is not what you believe. Our faith is in whom do you believe. So I want to read this story to you because I think this is right where we're at. This is out of Mark 5, verse 20. It says, and he, being Jesus, departed and began to proclaim to the capitalists. Verse 21 is where I wanted to go. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him. A great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her,
who had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Jesus was a little bit delayed in this whole thing. Jesus was seemingly taken off track a little bit from heading to see Jairus' daughter. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? That is the plan of the enemy. Why trouble Jesus any further? It's done, it's done, it's done, it's done. Just leave it alone. Why trouble any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid. Do not fear, only believe. Do not fear. Can I tell you this? I'm not just talking about Tammy in this situation. I'm talking about whatever may be going on with you. Do not allow this to be a place of fear. No matter if it looks like a delay, or no matter if it looks like an answer wasn't even there. Do not fear, but believe. Believe what? Not in what you believe, in whom you believe. Do not fear, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? This child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, hear what I'm telling you. You need to put away from you all the doubt, all the naysay, all the fear, all you need to put it away from you. Get outside. He put them outside. He took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha Kumai, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it. The point is this. We have a choice right now. You have two things knocking at your door. You have faith and you have fear knocking at your door right now. You can put one or the two outside, one of the two outside. You can either push faith out of the way and go, I'm not sure I understand or I believe, or if this didn't happen or that didn't happen, how could this happen for me, or how could that happen, or how could we keep praying, or how could we declare, or how, if we didn't see it, or that stuff needs to go. It needs to be put outside, put away from you, and you need to pick up the picture of in whom do I believe? Because the risen Christ is always the final word. The risen Christ is always the final word. No matter what it looks like leading up to that, the risen Christ is always the final word. We need to live this in our lives and not be waylaid by any circumstance or any situation. I'll tell you what. Standing here next to Miss Eleanor, all I felt was faith. Even though, you know, she's facing something that is unspeakable, faith is arising in her heart. Faith for now, faith for later, faith for you, faith for me. Do you see? So you have a choice right now. Do we allow fear to come in, doubt to come in, or do we allow faith to arise in us?
regardless of what we see or hear. You receive that? Oof.
My other volunteer, I think, yeah, there you go. Thank you. The Lord was really leading me this morning to pull this flag off my wall and bring it in. I didn't know exactly when or why it was going to be held up here in service or if it even would be, but I believe this is the place to do it. Yeah. Go ahead and come on up here, you guys, if you could unfurl that and hold it up here for me. Some of you may be familiar with it, and the rest of you will be now, too. It's a really special flag to me. It means a lot. Has to do with our nation, of course, but it really has to do with our life and how we handle bumps in the road, I guess you might say. And the Lord was really impressing on me to read a particular scripture today . It's in 1 John, but I think he's also imploring me to encourage you to do what he encouraged me to do with 1 John, and to actually just kind of speed read it. And he's going to jump something out off the page to you as you go through it. And a lot of times he has me speed read through stuff first to allow him to do that without my intellect getting in the way. So I just kind of zooming down the highway of whatever scripture he has for me, and then he'll just kind of pop something out at me. This 1 John is a lot about speaking to a church that's confused as to what truth is. It's a church that's very confused about who's speaking of the Lord and who's trying to deceive. And it's just a really helpful book in that way, and I believe we're in a time right now where many of us may be questioning what's going on around us in our communities, in our nation, in the world, and I just really encourage you. I feel like it's a word from the Lord for each one of us, for you to purpose to go into 1 John, just start at the beginning of it and just blaze through it, and I believe he's going to have stuff jump out at you that is going to help you in these times that we're in. But he has me specifically focusing on 1 John 5, verse 4 and 5. You see, every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. You who are the world conquerors, defeating its power? Oh, I'm not saying that right. It's a question. So, who are the world conquerors, defeating its power? Those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And so it all has to do with our faith in Him. It really comes down to that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just really feel strongly right now that there's probably one or two or so people that need to vocalize an appeal to heaven on behalf of Tammy, on behalf of others. And I believe probably the Lord's tugging on one or two of you to come up on the mic and do that. And so I'm not sure. Maybe it's someone out there watching online. You'll just have to do it spiritually maybe. But don't be bashful if that's you right now. Please feel free. We want to be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit and what He has for us today, what He has for each and every one of us. We'll just give you a short moment here, and then we'll move on with the service. About 6 weeks ago, I went into the hospital with COVID Delta. Spent a couple of weeks there. When I first went in, they got a special wing up there where they send people to die. And they parked me up there for 2 days. And I laid up there, and I wasn't in good shape. Not at all. My lungs were gone. Couldn't breathe even with oxygen. And I laid there, and I prayed. You know, I said, God, after all this, did you bring me here to kill me? And he said, No, there's things I need you to do. And I said, I'm dying. And he said, you wouldn't be here if I could find another way to get you here. Because there's things here I need you to do. Excuse me, I get all emotional when the Holy Spirit comes on. So anyway, I didn't ask what they were because he never tells me until the time anyway. The upshot is as soon as I did the thing I was supposed to do, the next day I was discharged. And I went from bad lungs to discharge in one day. I will tell you, as for a Christian, death is not the worst thing that can happen to you. Paul teaches that. You know, we have a hope, and that hope is resurrection. And so I further prayed with God, talked to God, and I said, you know, my body's shot. I can't do another one of these for you. You know, second time in 1 year. I haven't been sick in years for any reason up until I came up here. And it was twice in 1 year so far now. And he says to me, don't worry about your body. You're not going to need it much longer. What a word to be telling somebody. I said, so you're going to kill me. No, he said, I'm coming again. I'm going to give you a new body. You know, and the way I am right now, it isn't in good shape either right now. I mean, I don't have 10 years left in me, according to the doctors anyway. But according to Jesus, I'm getting a new body.
Yeah, I'm actually just praying through just all of it and feeling everything in the room, the hope, the sorrow, the joy and the disappointment. And what I really want to encourage us to just take what's going on and offer that to Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you, this is the only time in the sight of heaven we get to offer him something that costs us. Like, take our disappointment, and you know what? Jesus, I'm going to bring that before you, and here's my offering. Come. And just allow yourself permission to do what you need to do, to open your heart, to just let it all go, let it all out. God, here's my disappointment. It did not work out the way I planned, the way I thought, the way I battled. But Jesus, you're still on the throne. You're still worthy. You're still all-powerful, all-glorious, victorious, healer, master, Lord. You're everything. You're everything. And no matter what, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up fighting for that breakthrough. I'm not going to give up fighting for that breakthrough, because it's not over, because you show showed me it's possible. And I'm going to live my life towards you and not my experiences, not the failures, not the things that aren't happening. I'm going to look to you, Jesus. You are so worthy. You are so worthy. So if you're feeling pain or sorrow or disappointment or fear, I want you to bring that up and allow him to come in. Allow yourself permission to let him into that place, because that's where things happen. So just turn your affection to him. Turn your affection to him. Just come. Just come, Jesus. Come right in the middle of all the chaos. Come right in the middle of it. When I don't understand, come. When I don't get it, come. Here's my pain, God. Here's my pain, God. Here, you can have it. You can have it. Here's all my questions, God. You can have them. So I just need an encounter with his face this morning, just to know he's still good. He's still good. He's still healer. And let me just tell you that if you don't have resistance in your faith, you're not pushing the boundary towards where you're supposed to be going. Like, resistance, it helps you get stronger. Resistance doesn't mean you're too weak. Okay? Resistance means he's building your strength for endurance, for faith that can't be shaken, to see those miracles happen that you so long for. Yeah.
There we go. I feel like we need to... I recognize that our hearts are engaged. I recognize that we are all looking at the same thing in regard to Jesus. But I feel like in some ways each one of us are feeling a little bit like we're all kind of doing our own thing. And so I want us to... sing. I want us to worship just to bring our hearts into a place of engaging back together, and then we'll transition from there. And so I just want to kind of let you know what's going on.
This is kind of raw, yeah? But it's okay, right? It is okay. This is family. This is what it looks like. So I want to invite you guys, please stand with me. We're just going to come together. We're going to sing this song, Sea of Victory. And what I declared earlier is still true now. He's invited us in to partner with his heart and with his word, right? To partner with truth. You want to talk mandates? This is the mandate from heaven, okay? Partner with him to see victory, because he is the victorious one, and that is who we serve. So I just want to invite you guys, make this the declaration of your heart as we sing these words.
we're going to, I'd like whoever was going to pass out communion, I want you guys to do that. I feel like we need to take communion together. And then I'm going to take us somewhere else. So I know this has been a quite different today. Thank you for just engaging and you know, we're learning how to really be the body of Christ and not be here so someone can feed me, someone can make me be entertained, or, you know, learning how to really operate in a way that is the way we were created to be. And so, I'm going to ask Ben to...
So that is the question this morning. What do we see? I want to see a victory. And I'll speak for myself, but I think it's probably true in a lot of what we do. We have this attitude that I am waiting for the victory to happen before I can see it, when I don't believe that's what that song is really intending. I need to see the victory even when it doesn't look like a victory. I need a Gehazi moment where I stop seeing the host of the enemy gathered around my tent and I see instead the hosts of the kingdom of heaven. The problem isn't we're waiting for some victory to happen. The problem is our eyes are not looking on the victor. So the Passover that the Jews remembered for hundreds of years had four cups. And while I understand that the lamb was the pivotal part of the Passover, they didn't stop at the lamb. The Passover wasn't about remembering the lamb. The Passover was about remembering the deliverance and the victory that came through the obedience of sacrificing a lamb. Because the last cup they drank is the cup of rejoicing. We are no longer slaves in Egypt. And Jesus took the third cup, the cup of suffering, and he drank that himself. And 1 Corinthians 10 says, the cup that we drink, that's the same cup that Jesus drank. But we get credit for it because we're drinking a little emblem, a reminder of that cup. Our cup is the cup of rejoicing because the victory has been won. So we have to stop waiting, I'm waiting for my victory. No, I am taking the scales off. I am removing the blinders or the filter that allows me to interpret everything as hardship or an attack or something else. But instead, I choose to see what the hand of God is doing. That's what we need to be focusing on this morning with this little cup in our hand. It is a reminder of the cup of suffering that our lamb drank. But that is for the purpose of getting us to the cup of rejoicing that is ours because of the victory he won. Let's share that together. Father, open our eyes. Not in anticipation of something that's going to happen, but in realization of what is already completed. The work that you have accomplished, the victory that you have gained, the death that has been exchanged for eternal life. What an amazing gift we get to partake of this morning. We get credit for the cup of your suffering, but we get to enjoy the cup of rejoicing. We see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, but crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste my death for me so that I can taste his life. Give us your life this morning, Father. Life that cannot be quenched, that cannot be impinged upon by events around us, by the words that we hear, but truth that surpasses it all. We love you. We thank you. We thank you that you are in control. We thank you that your work is finished. We thank you that your life cannot be extinguished. We love you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.